In Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, you will find this following definition of influence. Quote, power exerted over the minds and behavior of others, the capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways. Man, is there a better description anywhere of the impact of our women in our lives? Even if you're the only breadwinner in your household, you know the power that women can exert. You know the power that they have. In one of his books, Tim LaHaye illustrates the influence of the lady of the house. He writes, the personnel director of a large corporation who had learned the powerful influence of negativism on people explained why he selected one particular man over another for a special job assignment. LaHaye said that he knew both of the men pretty well and frankly was surprised at the top man's selection because he felt that the guy he passed over would have been the more effective person for the position. The personnel director responded, though, I never hire a top echelon executive until I first meet and interview his wife. Although I am aware of the tremendous capabilities of our mutual friend, I am also conscious of the excessive griping habits to which his wife is given. I therefore concluded that she would be a harmful, demotivating influence on his work. I chose the other guy because I judged that the margin between them would easily be bridged by the supportive role of his wife. Wow. Now, of course, there are those women who are increasingly becoming executive directors in their own rights in our world these days. Yet, I think that director had some keen insight here. He understood that whether or not a wife or mother works outside the home, her influence is crucial, it is powerful, and it can be done for the good or the bad. God made, I think, the same point long ago in the Old Testament scriptures. He honored wives and mothers, really, in a 22-verse salute at the end of the book of Proverbs. Dan read it earlier. If you would turn there, please, if you haven't done so already. As I look at the book of Proverbs, I don't know why the compiler of these wise sayings put this last, but we do know that he has made much mention, or the writers of Proverbs. It's come out several times throughout the book about the negative influence of unfaithful wives. So maybe he thought it advisable in the end to have this glowing tribute to a good wife, a good mother. This is no doubt a separate, self-contained piece of writing which is composed within the framework, actually, of an alphabetical acrostic. Each verse, that is, begins with one of the verses of the 22 letters in order of the Hebrew alphabet. So it indicates, in a sense, the perfect picture, portrait of motherhood, the highest ideal. The passage has been tabbed a mirror for the godly woman. So ladies can take a look in this passage, they can take a look in the mirror, or this portrait, if you will, and identify the qualities that God wants to cultivate in their character. Another way to view it is to regard it as a handbook on the wife and mother and their worth. The author discusses various dimensions of her role. He covers everything from her daily chores to her ultimate spiritual influence. And as we go through these ladies, you might ask yourself, well, how do we measure up to this ideal? Good question. It's not something for you to be depressed about. You will all fail at it, but you must try. It's kind of the same sense that we men get from the New Testament commandment for husbands. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Impossible, we cry. Okay? Yet this is what we husbands must pursue, just as I believe wives and mothers must pursue the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. You may find some of the duties a little bit, we might say, old-fashioned. Things like a mom, you know, becoming fashion designer, making her kids own jeans and other outfits for their kids. We are in the area where most wives and mothers do work outside the home. So how many of you crawl out of bed before the sun even rises and cook pancakes and sausage for your family? It's probably cold cereal, Pop-Tarts, Egg McMuffins on the way, things like that. But whether or not today's woman performs all of these tasks from Proverbs 31, I don't think that's the point. I don't think this is a complete straitjacket that you have to wear in some stiff manner every single day. It's not condemning a woman to a rigid, suffocating routine. But whether you're working outside the home or you're a full-time housewife, you plant your own garden, whatever you may do, you buy your food at the supermarket. The Proverbs 31 description is as contemporary as can be. It's for today. What we're after here, rather, though, is the character traits, the generalized principles and the responsibilities outlined in this passage. They're illustrated in numerous ways. And then we want to discover the value of wives and mothers. Value. Great worth is certainly what the biblical writer saw. If you'll begin with verse 10, he says, "A wife of noble character, who can find?" In other words, the wife, the mother that has this high value, I don't think it suggests that she's non-existent, but she is very, very rare and very, very valuable, not easily found. And when she's found, wow, inestimable worth, priceless. She is far more than rubies in her value. So as the Lord blesses his word today, may these principles challenge our minds, men and women. There's spiritual principle here for men as well. And increase our appreciation for the lady of the house at the same time. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one is this. The mother of noble character exhibits relational support. Relational support. Verses 11 and 12. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. There is special affirmation in those words and respect. There is this supportive role, supportive companionship that she gives. She is to work with her husband, not against him. She is an asset to him, not a liability. Quickly, going on to number two, the mother or wife or woman of noble character, this might surprise you, exhibits physical fitness. I see that because I see boundless energy built up in the virtuous woman. The lady depicted here doesn't need either a workout video to help her get in shape either. Her house was one big exercise spa. I want you to notice the calories she would have burned by following these excerpts from her schedule. Verse 13, She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Then down to verse 19, in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. And then verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. You have shopping, cooking, sewing, gardening. It's no wonder that verse 17 says this. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. Remembers, ladies, as well, that these were the days in ancient times before there were automobiles. Probably didn't have horses for her either. She pretty much walked everywhere that she went. Even when she brought her food from afar, no microwaves, no automatic dishwashers or clothes washers or garden tillers. To top it all off, the woman pictured here is having a part-time income as well. Maybe that's why it says she hired maids to help her with her housework. Those were mentioned in verse 15. So he who has an ear to hear, listen as the Spirit speaks, maybe whispering the following question. Men, what taken for granted physical chores do our wives perform on a regular basis? And we probably don't even pay mind to it, much less be thankful. How does the diligent model of the Proverbs 31 woman show up in your wife? Now, even if you are from a home where you and the kids pitch in around the house, chances are she still works overtime just to get things done by the end of the day. I know one man who would shout an amen to that remark. His story is one of the most eye-catching headlines that came out in a newspaper one time. The title is this: Macho Ex-Marine Admits Failure as Housewife. The United Press featured the sobering experience of Bob Peters, a former Marine and Stanford All-American defensive end who could bench press 400 pounds. For 9 months of the year, he was also a high school football coach and wrestling coach. Well, June rolled around 1 year, and so in the summer, he made his commitment to his wife that while she would take a summer job, he would stay at home and look after things and take care of the kids. So he actually signed a 70-day motherhood contract. Four kids, ages ranging from 4 to 16. The contract spelled out all of his responsibilities, which included tutor, financial manager, arbitrator, disciplinarian chef, recreational director, and maid, just to name a few that were on his contract list. How did he fare? Here's his own admission. It is an impossible task for any human being. That's what he concluded. I didn't realize it was so hard. I'm in good physical condition. I'm big and strong. But since I've been doing this, I've lost 10 pounds that I didn't really intend to lose. It's because of the running around, getting up early and staying up late. It's folding the last load of clothes and trying to figure out where I put it all. Peter says he didn't come close to achieving all of the goals that he himself listed down with his wife on the contract, but at least he learned the hard way that, quote, a mom's job is not one of viewing one soap opera one after another and hosting Tupperware parties. he couldn't hack the role, men. And because of that, he says the president should make a national commission to, quote, promote a renaissance of respect and admiration for mothers everywhere. I think we would say an amen to that. Peter's experiment shows us what it is about a housewife and a mom. I mean, if it isn't the toughest job in the world, it certainly ranks very high up there. So a couple of quick observations show that the woman or mother of noble character is relationally supportive. Secondly, she is physically fit. Thirdly, the mother or wife or woman of noble character exhibits mental enterprising. She is the household executive. If you are living with a virtuous mother, she is a capable executive. There's a myth that needs to be buried, I think. It's that the woman's contribution to the family is limited to physical labor, like any healthy person could do it. No, I think the Proverbs 31 portrait shows a woman of other highly developed abilities, like her intellect, along with her physical fortitude. Her role requires managerial ability. I think any Fortune 500 executive would take a second look at the virtuous woman taking care of her family in her home. It is like running a small business. In most homes, even if you're the dad or father or husband who takes care of the finances, there are still numerous administrative responsibilities that she does. If you look closer at Proverbs 31, you'll see this evidence in managerial know-how. Number one, in the form of delegation. Write that down. The size of this woman's house and all of her duties, I think, made it necessary for her to hire outside help. She has early morning duties. She would have had to plan out the schedule even for her employees, giving them prescribed tasks. If you are an executive or if you are in charge of other people, you know that in order to keep your crew happy and productive, it takes a lot more administrative know-how than the person might think. Secondly, money management. Notice that she budgeted money not only for food but also for fabric to sustain the family. That came out in verse 13 and 14. Then with other fabrics, she made other things and displayed those for retail sales. Verse 24. That required the expertise of an accountant. She had to figure out profit margins and sale prices and all of that. She then invested apparently her earnings in real estate. She purchased a garden plot as a way to help satisfy the food needs of her family members. That comes out in verse 16. So planning was a part of her regular agenda. She did an annual inventory, or maybe semi-annually, apparently, with all of her family's clothes, her husband's and her kids. She anticipated needs for the winter and then made clothes that they needed in advance. Verse 21 says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Thirdly, wise counsel. You're getting overwhelmed even at this point. Remember, I said this is the ideal. It's not to be applied at every single example, but focus on the principles. She had wise counsel. Proverbs 31 applauds her wisdom. For example, in verse 26, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She was a counselor in many respects. She had this special ability to think practically and with wisdom about certain situations. And I know as a husband, that comes in handy so many times. I think women are naturally that way. I heard one wife who helped pick out their new family car. and the car salesman was taking them around the rows of new models, and the wife kept wanting to see the trunk of each car. Well, after several trunk inspections, this frustrated salesman blurted out, "Lady, most folks inspect the engine rather than the trunk." Her reply was this: "I assume any new engine will run okay for a few years, but you cannot determine the size of the trunk without looking. We travel a lot as a family, and luggage always ends up under our feet or behind our heads. So just keep opening the trunks, please." Now, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, where you would rank your wife's administrative skill, but this passage in Proverbs demonstrates that's what she does if she's a virtuous woman. It's not all about what she does physically, it's how she thinks and applies herself wisely. Number four, the mother or wife or woman of noble character exhibits social influence outside the home. Yes, Proverbs 31, I think most definitely, no doubt, puts the home as her highest priority, her primary responsibility, husband and kids. But you get the impression that she's not just confined to those walls of her house. Her influence extends beyond. She supplemented her commitment to her family with dimensions of service outside the home. We've already discussed how she was proficient, I guess, as a seamstress and a tailor to supplement then her husband's income, verse 24. We also saw how she had the freedom then to invest her earnings. That was verse 16. Then you see the scope of her influence widening even more. If you take a look at verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. One of the results of her efficiency and her family management was so that she could expand her influence and actually give relief into the community. And I think that had an effect on the reputation of her husband. Her contributions increased the respect that people had for him. Did you get that, men? If you have respect in your community, a lot of it has to do with your wife. Verse 23. Her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. I think they realized how smart he was for marrying her. If it weren't for the contributions of moms and housewives, the fabric of our society, folks, would unravel. In what ways does your wife's scope of influence easily extend beyond the four walls of your house? Does she work for money in order to help save for your kids' college tuition? I know we would not have been able to put our kids through school. Does she teach a rowdy gang of kids each week here at church, either in Awana or Sunday school or children's church? Does she cook for other families when there's a need that arises and maybe sometimes delivers them over to their house or bring them in for a church dinner? Does she visit folks in the hospital or go over to a shut-in's house and try to encourage their day? If you answer yes to any one of those questions, she probably is deserving of more appreciation than we give her. The mother of noble character exhibits relational support, physical fitness, mental enterprising, social influence. But then the last one is certainly not the least one. This is number five. The mother or wife, woman of a noble character exhibits spiritual depth. What motivates the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman to do all of those things that she does so selflessly? I think it's no doubt her close bond with the Lord. That is where she gets her vigilance. That is where she gets her dedication and virtue. She's called a woman of noble character in verse 10. That word means literally strong, strong in character. And then if you go over to verse 30, her most praiseworthy aspect is her reverence for God. Verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Why is she to be praised? Because she does all of those things? Well, yeah. But she's to be praised most of all if she has a close fellowship relationship with God. If she fears the Lord, that's why you should bless her. Amen. More important than her social standing or how much money she does make or how well she does take care of the kids or how good her meals are. Above that is, how does she walk with God? Spiritual zeal of such a God-fearing woman is contagious. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church in the 18th century. His brother Charles wrote literally hundreds, I think it may have been in the thousands, of Christian hymns. Some of them are still in the hymn books that you guys hold and sing out of every week. So what accounted for their immeasurable contribution to the church? It was a devout mom. Susanna Wesley gave birth to 17 kids. 17. And yet, somehow, she found time to lock herself in her room for at least an hour a day to do nothing more than to pray for her kids. And it showed, didn't it? Now, maybe you don't reserve a prayer closet, ladies, for 60 minutes a day, but it is your spiritual depth more than anything else that is the most valued aspect of your life and your home. So, men, what evidences of a heart for God do you see in the lady of your life? How has she invested in your spiritual development? What has she done to encourage your children in their spiritual walk? Have you ever thanked her for what she has done, or at least perhaps for her prayers said on your behalf or on behalf of your children? If she isn't in close touch with God, how have you in your life, in your example, encouraged her? Or if she is perhaps not even an unbeliever, not even a believer, what have you done spiritually on her behalf? Prayer is that one thing to try to get beyond that standing if you have that wife. Well, after all of this, the woman of noble character receives her due, and she should. The mother, number six, the mother, wife, or woman of noble character should receive monumental praise. The person, the compiler who put this together, this female portrait in chapter 31, makes his final strokes. So this is what he brings out at the very, very end. Verse 28, her children arise, call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Verse 31, give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. When it comes to gratitude, men, children who are old enough to understand, does your wife, does your mom get ignored? Does she ever receive your praise? We don't have any trouble singing our own praises, right? Don't neglect your mom. Statue of Liberty is that majestic symbol of our country of freedom. It towers over the New York Harbor. It was a gift to the United States from the French government. The famous sculptor named Bartholdi devoted 20 years of his life to produce that statue, and he even invested a lot of his own personal savings to help out the French government, who couldn't afford the expenses of the project. From the start, Bartholdi was looking for a model, both physically and in the features and other ways, that would that he could somehow reproduce Lady Liberty. And he considered many heroic and noble women that he knew of in history and in his contemporary world, and he then selected the model. Guess who it was? It was his own mom that he wanted to reflect in the Statue of Liberty. So you can train your kids, you can be that yourself, guys, in raising a monument to the godly woman who lives in your household. Let me give you a few suggestions that I found for Mother's Day. Men, you should be taking notes at this time. We're kids. If you want to try any of these things, the empty envelope suggestion. Place a stamp on an envelope. Write mom's name and address on the envelope. Go ahead and seal the empty envelope. I know it's empty. Here's the rest of the directions, though. On the back of the envelope, jot these words. Inside this envelope, you'll discover what my life would be without you. And then mail it. Secondly, the first class gratitude idea. This time, put a letter in the envelope. Start a note in there that goes like this. I thank God for you because. And then you and your kids fill out the rest of the blanks of the note. Or the third idea, a sumptuous spread suggestion. And you can get your kids on this one too and figure out mom's favorite place to go to eat. And during the meal, when you're sitting there in the restaurant, each of you take turns, starting with dad, and tell her one thing that you appreciate about her. And then fourthly, a suggestion, the surprise symbol suggestion. Go to a Christian bookstore or make a craft of some type and have it hung up on the wall or placed somewhere in a conspicuous place and use it as a symbol and remind her that that is the symbol of your gratitude for her, so she sees it and thinks of that every day. Wife and mother of noble character provides relational support, exhibits physical fitness, mental enterprising, social influence, and most of all, spiritual depth. Therefore, she should be praised. Some moms get taken out to dinner at a restaurant fit for a queen. Then they're taken where waists get thinner to a spa that can make them lean. Others get taken on a second honeymoon or a cruise to a place enchanted. But moms like you, more often than not, just get taken for granted. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for our moms, our wives, the ladies here today. Bless them, Lord, and encourage them. Motivate them. As we men should be motivated by the example of the love of Christ, maybe the ladies be motivated by the ideal of the Proverbs 31 virtuous woman. May each lady leave from this place and just perhaps begin by taking one or two of the virtues and strive by the Spirit's power and your grace to apply it in her life. Thank you, Lord, for the families that we have. We're trusting you, Lord, as our loving Father, to make up the difference where there's love lacking in the home. I'm sure that that's represented in this room as well today. But if there are those who had less than a godly dad or mom, no godly heritage in their home, May they be the ones, God, to break the cycle, such a wicked thing that happens in families over and over again. If there's young people here today and they didn't have that blessing, but I had, others of us had, may they be the ones to break the cycle and raise up a godly generation. By your grace, in the name of the Savior, amen.